Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. Scripture is full of accounts of God seeking out God's people. In Genesis, God searched for Adam all over the Garden of Eden. "Where are you?" he said. After Abraham and Sarah banished Hagar and Ishmael into the desert, God heard Hagar's cry and sought her out to give her water. God also, disguised as an angel, sought out Jacob, wrestled with him, and then gave him a blessing, with Jacob then proclaiming that he had seen God face to face. Through the angel Gabriel, God approached Mary to be the bearer of the Christ child. And in the parable of the Gospel of Luke, a prodigal father looked into the distance and ran out to welcome his returning son. God draws near, seeks out, and welcomes. And very likely each one of us has at least one story of a moment where we felt God reaching out to us in a powerful, tangible, yet very personal way. God sought me out 15 years ago after I had left full-time church ministry. I was in a confused state then, not knowing how to engage God. I started attending an Episcopal church in Pasadena, where all I could do was sit at the back and take in whatever I could take in on Sundays. But whenever I heard the invitation to the table, "Whoever you are and wherever you are in your journey of faith, you are welcomed to God's table," I would experience God reaching out to me, whoever I was and wherever I was that day. And I would feel the welcome of God. God sought me out. In our gospel reading today, Jesus sat down and welcomed a little child into his arms. A little child who was regarded as dependent and helpless in that society, without much to contribute, a child who was someone not to be taken seriously yet, just a child. But Jesus reached out to this child and extended his welcome to her. "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Message rendition offers a more intimate interpretation. It says, "Whoever embraces one of these children, as I do, embraces me, and far more than me, but God who sent me." This was a teaching moment for Jesus, as the disciples really were a hot mess that day, starting with completely missing Jesus describing to them how he was going to die, then completely missing the memo about servant leadership as they were bickering about who was the greatest. And in light of today's reading from James, the disciples wanted something they did not have, be it power or recognition. They craved and they wanted and they asked, but they asked wrongly, wanting to be the greatest and to be the first. But in the upside-down reign of God, Jesus made it clear that this was not so. For whoever wants to be first must be the last of all and servant of all, and must do the work to welcome and embrace and serve others, especially those who do not hold power or privilege. Jesus was teaching that the reign of God is not about being the greatest, but about knowing God's heart through welcoming and serving all whom God cares for. Now, being sought after, being recognized and welcomed by God, whether you're Adam or Hagar, Jacob or Mary, the younger son in the parable, or this little child, is great. It feels good. But that is only part of the good news. The other part of this good news is that Jesus invites us to draw near to God, to know the desires of God, and to experience the welcoming heart of God by welcoming others. In his book, The Return of the Prodigal Son, a Christian devotional writer, Henry Nouwen, examines the parable of the prodigal son and the relationships between the two sons and the father. Nouwen encourages us not only to experience God through the sons, but also to become more like the father in this parable. He asks, do I want to be like the father? Do I want to be not just the one who is being forgiven, but also the one who forgives? Not just the one who is being welcomed home, but also the one who welcomes home? Not just the one who receives compassion, but the one who offers it as well? So herein lies the challenge as followers of Jesus. How might we experience not only God's welcome and embrace and our community's warmth and love to be on the receiving end of welcome, but also seek out, welcome, and embrace others, to be welcomers of God and in the process deepen our experience of a welcoming God? Stephanie Speller is an Episcopal priest. In her book, Radical Welcome, Embracing God, the Other, and the Spirit of Transformation, writes about the need to be radically welcoming in our churches, to be genuinely interested in knowing others, especially those who are not like us. This is beyond just inviting, and it's beyond just including. But meeting people where they're at and letting the interaction also change who we are. Speller writes, that is God's hospitality. The welcome that actively loves and receives us just as we are, despite every reservation, expectation, or term we might seek out. However strange we imagine ourselves to be, however far out we have been cast. That is Jesus' hospitality, as we see in whom he invites to this table. Speller also writes, God has welcomed us because it is in God's very nature to seek us out and to welcome us home when we feel the least worthy of embrace. So how might we do the same for others? In our gospel reading this morning, a little detail caught my eye. Jesus sat down and sat the disciples down. Why did he do that? I believe it's so that when the child entered into their circle, they could all meet her at her eye level. They weren't looking down, and she wouldn't need to look up. It was a small detail that opened up great possibilities, and it allowed the disciples to be changed by this encounter and to experience what it meant to welcome and to serve others. Jesus prepared the disciples well for this encounter. Our welcome and embrace is to cross over to meet people wherever they are and whoever they are, often when we do not feel comfortable or do not even know what to do. It's not just whether we care in our hearts, because oftentimes we do, but also whether we dare in our actions. 20 years ago, I worked with international students at a Christian college. And when I first started working there, I asked the international students what they would most like to see happen. And the conversations were heartbreaking. One student adamantly told me, please, don't put me on display in my ethnic costumes and make me cook my food for the international fair. But come visit me at my apartment and we can cook together. And I will share with you my culture, my values, and my stories. And many of them lamented that during their entire stay in the U.S., they had not experienced being invited even once into an American home and getting to know an American family. But the reality is that being curious and open can be very vulnerable. We can also get stuck with the projections of who we think others are. And welcoming ourselves also means allowing others, or allowing ourselves to be changed by that interaction. Several years ago, a friend shared with me that he was attending another Episcopal church where the preacher gave a rousing sermon on God's call for racial reconciliation and healing. He sat next to this older lady. He is Asian, she is white. During the piece, he was fully expecting to just shake her hand, exchange pleasantries, and just move on to the next person. But she stopped as they were shaking hands, grabbed onto his hands, and said, "I want to get to know you, but I'm afraid I don't know how to." He held on to her hand and said, "Thank you. I'd love to get to know you too. So let's figure this out together." She cared and she dared. And he responded. There are communities within our community, and there are individuals we meet, people desiring us to seek them out, to welcome and embrace them, and for us to truly spend time with them, to welcome them not just into our Sunday service, but also into our own homes and into our own lives. They might be strangers, but they are also neighbors and coworkers and classmates, people who are already in our midst, maybe even sitting next to you this morning. At God's heart is a deep sense of radical welcome and hospitality. How do we extend the same radical welcome to others and draw near to the heart of God at the same time? Today, as we reflect together as a parish on who we are, might we also reflect together on whom we seek after, whom we welcome, and whom we embrace? If who we are is reflected in whom we seek after, who are we as Saint Francis? Just as God sought us out and continues to seek us out, to welcome us and to embrace us in Scripture, in the parables, in today's gospel reading, let us do the same in our lives so that we not only care, but also dare to extend our welcome and embrace to others. And in doing so, let us draw near to God as God draws near to us. Amen.